creating a secure bond. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome to my Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. I am thrilled to have you here with me, and I'm really excited about today's interview with Jeff Stewart, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He is also trained in EFT therapy, which is emotional focus therapy. And so I want to get right into that interview, but before I do, I just wanted to let you know that I actually have a free webinar. It's a 1-hour webinar that I share two distinct differences between men and women that can possibly help you elevate your marriage starting today, or at least the day you choose to pick which webinar to watch. You can actually go to @TrinaGlines on Instagram, and I have the links to sign up in my bio. And I would love to have you go and just learn a little bit about what I share in Taming Jane Academy. And if you are interested at all in Taming Jane Academy, my fall semester is just getting ready to start. And if you watch that webinar, you may come away with a coupon code for a little bit of a discount. So let's get into my interview with Jeff Stewart, who I was so grateful that he was able to take a little bit of time out of his very busy schedule to share with us. Let's get going. Welcome, ladies. I am thrilled to share with you today an interview that we have Jeff Stewart with us this morning. I am interviewing him, and I just want to tell you a little bit about him. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He specializes in helping individuals and couples improve their most important relationships. He is trained in emotional focus couples therapy, which is commonly known as EFT. He also works with the Lifestar Network, which is an advanced training in pornography and sexual addiction treatment. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time to meet with me.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm excited for this conversation, and I'm excited at the thought of even having more conversations with you in the future, because it's impossible for us to get everything in right now. So
I know.
I appreciate your time. So let's just get right into it. I have been reading the book Love Sense by Dr. Sue Johnson.
Yeah.
And I know you are trained in the EFT therapy that she discusses and talks about in this book. Would you mind explaining in layman terms maybe what this technique is?
Yeah, you bet. So EFT completely revolutionized the way that I worked with couples. I had been a marriage therapist for, oh goodness, when I started my EFT training, I had been doing counseling for probably 10 years at that point. And this was back in 2009. When I went and actually trained with Sue Johnson and her team. And I almost felt like I should go back and apologize to all my previous clients and tell them that I want to give them their money back. And I'm very sorry that I couldn't help their marriages like the way I knew I would be able to once I understood EFT. So it felt that different to me. And the reason is because it took the emphasis completely off of marriage as a negotiation or marriage as just communication skills. And it focused more on helping couples really repair that deeper bond between them and help them really learn how to see the way that they were affecting each other and really sort of working with the energy of this attachment bond that we have built into us since birth, and understanding that the core nature of every single argument and fight in a relationship has to do with that attachment distress, has to do with this sense that my partner's not there for me anymore, I can't get to them, or they don't care about me anymore. And a lot of times it feels really illogical. And so we sort of put it aside and want to make it about communication skills or I statements or techniques or whatever. But the truth is that it just activates this primal fear that we're going to be abandoned or that our partner's not going to be there for us. And that's a really hard thing to tolerate. And so EFT is a model that helps really harness and help slow couples down so that they can understand the messages that they're sending to each other and how to really show up and be there for their partner emotionally so that it calms and soothes their nervous systems and so that they can actually communicate. Because once couples are feeling connected and they feel like that bond is intact and their partner's there for them and cares about them, people can talk about anything and their communication skills improve like instantly.
Yeah. And I really love that part in her book where she kind of talks about that emotions are important. And yeah, so many people want to say, stop being so emotional. Emotions right. aren't good. We need to be in control of them. Whereas she's saying emotions are kind of telling us signals to our body of what's going on around us.
They point us to what's important, and we can't ignore them.
Yeah. And when we try to do, like she said, suppress, then what ends up happening? It's a corked volcano that...
Oh, they'll come out. Yeah.
Yeah. They will come out. And so, okay. So you mentioned in there that, you know, our attachment styles, how we, you know, our attachment feels distressed. Mm-hmm. And she talks about that there actually are three different types of attachment styles that are... we will have bits of all three of them in us,
yeah,
depending too on what person we are communicating with at the time and what our past is with them. Does that sound correct? Did I work?
Yeah, that's
correctly?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then also though, that our attachment style is kind of formed in our, you know, very young years, depending on our caregivers, and it continues to be formed by that. Would you mind explaining just a little bit about those three different attachment styles that she discusses in her book?
Yeah, you bet. So she talks about, I think you're talking about secure, anxious, and avoidant, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So basically when we're born, every single baby that comes, you know, into the world is looking for physical and emotional safety. They're looking for someone to respond to them. Think of it like a call and response, right? The baby cries, we pick it up. The baby reaches for touch, the parent touches back. And those interactions happen thousands of times in the first few years of life. And depending on how that goes in the first, say, 5 years of life, you start to form a style of attaching. So if you have a parent who every time you cry, ignores you or leaves the room or doesn't care, then you're going to become very anxious and basically, or, you know, or you'll become avoidant, right? Like it can go lots of different directions, but basically what happens is that you have to come up with a way to cope with someone not being there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very simple. Either someone's there for you and responding to you and engaging in this call and response dance with you, mm-hmm. which creates security, or they're not, or they're doing some other variation of it where they're sometimes there, but really unpredictable, or sometimes they're never there. And anything other than secure attachment is going to spawn off an anxious or what we call preoccupied attachment, or an avoidant, which actually has a cut. There's like a dismissive, avoidant, and fearful. I won't get into all those details, but basically you're going to have some sort of maladaptive way of trying to cope with not having that secure attachment. So if your listeners, if they want to get on YouTube, there's a couple of videos that will give you a really quick 3-minute overview of this. The still face experiment is probably my favorite one. You can just type in still face experiment and you'll see Ed Tronick from University of Massachusetts do this study where it shows with a 1-year-old what happens when a mother is there, but she's not engaging with the baby and the baby goes nuts. Mm-hmm. And it shows you that, you know, how delicate this is and how quickly we pick up on whether someone's there for us or not. So the secure attachment style is where basically the world is predictable. When I cry or when I need someone, they're there for me. It doesn't mean that like every single little need is going to be taken care of. It means that more often than not, I know that I'm on someone's mind. They're thinking about me. They're picking me up. They're talking to me. They're seeing me. They're noticing me. And that's going to create a lot of security to where I can turn as an adult. Then I can go to my partner for support. I can trust that they love me and want to be there for me. I can be honest with them and I feel equal to them. And And I basically just have this sense that I can move freely about in the relationship, and I can come and go, and they'll always be there for me, and I can be there for them. That's the goal, right? That's secure attachment.
Mm-hmm.
An anxious attachment, on the other hand, is more of a sense that you're just kind of full of emotional hunger all the time. It's not the normal, like, I just, you know, need somebody there for me, which we all feel. This is like a deep, insatiable hunger where they're really sort of like holding on to the partner with a death grip to complete them and take care of them. And they're like clinging to them and needing safety and security. It's almost like any sort of movement away from the relationship or from them activates this deep primal fear. And so they interpret any sort of independent actions by their partner as a threat to their connection. It's hard to move freely because they're so anxious and preoccupied, believing that this person's going to abandon them. And you can imagine how that turns out in relationships. Yeah. It's terribly dramatic and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is this avoidant attachment, which is where people tend to err on the side of being emotionally unavailable or distance. And it's a way of coping with not knowing if their partner's going to be there. So some people cling and get preoccupied and anxious, and some sort of keep a cool distance. And they live kind of in this ambivalent state. They can't decide if they want to be close or far away. And so it just feels like it's a moving target all the time. And avoidant people sometimes want closeness. Sometimes they get overwhelmed with it and they want distance. And it can be more stormy. And anyway, so that's kind of a quick overview of those three styles. But the goal here is secure for sure.
Okay. And that's what I like in her book is she talks about that we can change our attachment style. We can be more secure.
Yes.
That is so cool.
I love that. I know.
That she gives us all.
I know, right? It's like we couldn't choose our upbringing, but we can work with our partner to co-create a new attachment style. I think it's phenomenal. And the research is solid on it. It's so true. You can do it.
I really like that. And in my own life, I had more of a avoidant, anxious attachment style for sure when I got married. For sure. Like without a doubt.
Yep.
My husband was more secure. He was much more secure. And through the years, I have become more secure, which I'm so grateful for. And now, obviously, the last few years and the journey I've been on, I've become even way more secure because of everything that I'm learning, which is kind of a testimony for me to share with women. When we search out knowledge, we search out new ways of thinking, new perceptions that we were never taught. It really can make a difference in our lives.
That's right.
Which is exactly what you do with couples every day. But I'm curious. I have one question, though.
Sure.
Because of my avoidant and anxious when we first got married, I almost feel like I hindered some of my husband's secure that he had.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had to work on becoming even more secure because my intense woman, as I named her, my intense woman, my inability to connect in a healthier way did affect him.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely a true statement? Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a mirror and, maybe you read about the mirror neurons in Love mm-hmm. Sense, but basically even if we come into a relationship with a secure attachment, we're looking to our partner to reflect back to us that they're there for us, but that also that what we're doing is working for them. So we need to know that someone's there for us, but we also need to know just as instinctively that we are there for someone else. So we need to know it goes both ways. And if all of our efforts toward our partner are being met with avoidance, suspicion, drama, intensity, fear, then it's going to start to mirror back to us that maybe there's something wrong with us, or maybe that we're not doing it right, and it can create a negative cycle between the couple just based on one person's insecure attachment. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good to know because I've wondered about that. And
yeah,
like he was so secure, but I think I took a little of that security away in the beginning. And so that's good to know that, yeah, we can actually almost be a negative example, you know, to these people that have had a more secure background. And then, but it's possible. I mean, as I've become more secure. He's getting right back to that place that he was in the beginning, and even better. So I love that. And so let's concentrate now a little bit. I hope to have another discussion with you in the future on more on those attachment styles and really diving into them a little bit more. But for now, I really want to concentrate on how we can create that secure bond with our spouse. And it, for, you know, me just reading the book, not having the psychology behind it, the way that I've kind of felt that she's explaining it is that our secure bond, it all is the answer to that question, which you just said a minute ago, are you there for me? And so in those moments of discussion, in those moments of maybe a heated moment, do we have the ability to turn outward and focus on what our spouse is sharing and feeling instead of us going inwards and taking the words as a complete attack? We go in this, I call it self-preservation mode. We go into I'm not good enough. Here we go again. She's saying all of this again. I just can't do anything right. And now they go into themselves instead of looking outwards and seeing what the spouse is trying to say and trying to discover what is it they're really feeling. Was that correct? Did I just kind of sum that up a little bit? So would you mind sharing a little bit more about how do we create that secure bond in a marriage?
So what you're describing is just recognizing first the fact that there is an interaction effect going on, meaning that each individual is starting to understand and see that they affect the other person, that it's not just. And that's sort of the what we would call like the between us, right? Like there's all of us are pretty in tune with what's happening inside of us, but very few of us are very aware of how we are affecting someone else. And not only just affecting someone else, but even just understanding like what's happening between us. So it's really about helping a couple start to recognize, okay, so when I say this, or I do this, and then you do this back, and then I do this back, like you almost think of it like a map, right? A sequence. And you're starting to understand, okay, we're both having an effect on each other. We're both now caught in something that is actually getting us further away from our connection. And it's not so much about you're doing this to me or I'm doing this to you. It's really about understanding the interaction aspect of it. That's the first place couples have to start is, and we spend a lot of time in EFT. We call it stage one work. And it's basically helping the couple understand the way that they move with each other. And we're not even getting into at this point, starting to break down their needs and what they want from each other and all that. We're not even getting into that stuff. And we're definitely not getting into like the topic of the day. We're just looking at how do you overwhelm each other? How do you knock the emotional wind out of each other? And for some people, it might be, you know, he gets really quiet or she starts talking too much or vice versa, or they both shut down. And, you know, Sue Johnson talks about these different dances. You know, there's the freeze and flee, and then there's the attack, and there's some that are both shut down. And, you know, there's lots of different ways that couples move with each other, and couples have to get clear on how they affect each other. And that's where you start.
Okay. So I like that. She does talk about those different dances styles, and yeah, I can see that just even in my own relationship, you know, like when I'm trying to share with my man and he does go quiet, how that actually brings up a lot of anxiety inside of me.
Right.
And so I can see that would be, you know, you mentioned that was step one. Once you kind of get through people, step one, you know, understanding the way they move with each other, what do you move into next? What's the step two?
So, yeah. So what happens after that is as soon as the couple can start to see how they affect each other and that the enemy of their marriage is not the other person, but the enemy of the marriage is this cycle, they start to externalize it and almost see like, oh, we both get caught in this. Basically, we both want the same thing. We both want to be close to each other. And what we're each doing to try and, you know, manage the fear of losing the other person is making it hard for us to connect. So believe it or not, stage one is really probably like one of the biggest game changers, because what happens is that they both see that they're actually on the same team. So when he gets quiet, for example, that's his way of actually trying to get closer to her by not making things worse. Right. Mm. And when she's starting to like badger him, she's trying to make things better by getting closer to him. But of course, him shutting down and her getting more aggressive is worse for the other person. It does the opposite of what they want. So if you can reframe that and see like, oh, my wife is trying to come over to me because I matter so much to her, and she wants to get closer to me, and she can see, oh, he's shutting down because he doesn't want to make things worse and lose our connection, right? If you can see that, those the way that those movements are happening, then all of a sudden it actually starts to turn off some of that fight or flight inside of us. And we actually can start to see that our partner cares about us, and it answers that question, are you there for me? And then stage two now becomes, once you've settled down the whole nervous system and both people aren't panicking and like stuck in this horrible, terrifying cycle, then they can start to identify what they really are asking for the whole time. And so that's where they start to identify what they need, what's been lost, how they, you know, and so it's things like, well, I need this from you, or I want that from you, or when this happens, it feels like this. And they can start to hear each other. And it's easier to talk about these things now because they're not battling against this whole cycle of, are you there for me? Do you care about me? Right. That we've put that to rest. And so, So that's where we get into that. And a lot of couples will just start right out the gate, man. They'll go right into like, well, I need this from you. And then it's just like panic alarms go off and this person doesn't care about me. So you got to quiet the cycle down first.
The way you just explained that, because I've read her book now like 3 times, but the way you just explained that just clicked inside of me. And so I go back to that example. I'm sharing something with my man and he goes quiet for me to understand and know that his quiet is because he cares and he doesn't want to make something worse.
Yep.
Right? Like that's not a bad thing. He's not shutting down because he doesn't care about me. He's not shutting down because of the stupid narrative that's been going on in my head.
Exactly.
Oh, that is powerful. Yeah. I mean, I can see myself now in one of those moments if I'm sharing with my man and he goes quiet for me, saying, "Hun, I know you're being quiet because you love me and you don't want to make this worse. So thank you." You know, I can see myself.
And he'll be like, "Hallelujah, yes."
Exactly. He'll be like, "Where did that come from?"
Right.
Oh, that and is some, beautiful.
Like in my marriage, I tend to be more the pursuer, right? So if my wife gets quiet, I tend to be the one that gets more anxious. And I don't know if it's just my therapist brain, but I tend to be a little bit more of a pursuer, and she tends to want to take more time. And so so I understand what that's like to interpret your partner pulling away as a sign of rejection. And in the same way that, you know, she could see me trying to get her to talk as a way of me just like totally trying to, you know, control her or shut her down or whatever. And so, if you can really, and it's hard in the moment to do this because we're, you know, you're activated, you're in fight or flight, but if you can come back to it and recognize, we both want the same thing. And that's where, you know, you really want to help couples start to use language that is more attachment based. So things like, when we were arguing the other night, I really missed you. I really feel like I want to be close to you, but I don't know how to get close to you. Like, you really matter to me. And I'm not doing a very good job of it, but all I want to do is just like be near you. Like, if you can send signals over that are like, instead of like, why are you always so distant? It turns into, you matter to me. I want to be close to you. Then all of a sudden it turns off that signal that our partner doesn't like us, doesn't want to be close to us. It really quiets down those attachment fears that we all have, by the way, and allows the couple to start to see each other as allies for the same thing.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. She talks about one of my favorite pages in the whole book, and the ladies that are in my membership know because I've talked about this so much. It's actually on page 219. When she talks about, let me find it right here. I want to see what she labels the beginning of it. She talks about repairing bonds moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like you said, the answer to that question, are you there for me? And she explains it that there's basically a three-step process. So in that moment of, you know, conflict or trying to work something through, the three-step process is accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit about these steps and how couples can apply them in these moments?
Right. So accessibility is really you staying open to your partner, even when you feel insecure. And this is about saying, even though I am terrified or I don't know what's going on, I'm going to stay open. So you're going to stay in the discussion to, you know, make sense of your emotions, and you're going to start to step back from your own reactions and see what your partner's trying to do. So you're just accessible. You're just this sense of like, I'm reachable. My partner can still get to me. So I'm not going to shut him out. I'm not going to overwhelm him or her. I'm going to stay open and accessible. And then responsiveness is that call and response thing, which basically means that what they're feeling and what they're thinking and their experience has an effect on you, that it has an impact on you for good. Right.
Yeah.
And it really says what you just said, touched me in some way. And it could be that was hard for me. It doesn't matter. It's just that there's some kind of response. So if they just basically get the stonewall, then that's going to activate their attachment fears. And so anytime someone is sensitive to us and is responsive to us, it calms us down physiologically. We need, you know, like when somebody's nodding their head when we're talking or saying, yeah, you know, those cues that basically say what you're saying is getting through to me. That's how we do. So we stay open, accessible. We stay responsive and let our partner know it's not enough just to be in the room. We have to let them know we're doing that. And then engagement is more about this sense of it. This is a harder one to describe, but it basically means that, it's like, think of it as like emotional presence. It's like, I'm just here for you and you get something out of me that nobody else will, right? Like I'm like, you're somebody that means more to me than anyone else. And I'm just going to stay present. I'm going to stay with you as long as you need. It's a special kind of attention. It's a special kind of connection. And that engagement is not just in that moment, but I'm going to come back to this as much as we need to. I'm going to be there for you long term. I'm going to reassure you that I want to work on this with you and you matter to me. It's just kind of this overarching energy that basically says, I'm in this with you. So those are ARE, accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement.
Okay. I like that. And I think the way that resonated with me some, and maybe it's just because of my own dance that goes on all the time in our marriage, but that accessible, responsive engagement kind of goes back to, are we looking out at them or do we turn inward?
Right.
Is that kind of that space that we need to keep ourselves from, like you said, step back from your own emotions?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, we definitely want to understand what's going on with our own emotions in the sense of like, so you can communicate clear signals to your partner, right? You need to know mm-hmm. what you're feeling, but you're not so overwhelmed by them, or you're not privileging your own experience so much that you can't accept or recognize that you are also having an effect on them. I mean, Sue Johnson teaches that we are the ones that love us and the ones we love, we emotionally and physically regulate each other and we can't escape that. Okay. And so because of that, we have to understand what we're feeling, but also understand how what we're doing affects how our partner feels and responds. And so to act like I did nothing, I just sat there and looked at you with my eyebrows up and I did nothing. I just sat, you know, it's almost like, no, a raised eyebrow can put your husband into a total tailspin, right?
Like, yeah. So. Yes. Yes. And I think a big part of Love Sense and EFT is learning where those root emotions are really coming from it within ourselves. Like
right.
when I start to feel that panic feeling,
right.
really anxious feeling, okay, Trina, taking a moment to stop and say, what is it I'm really feeling right here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that allows me to approach,
right.
you know, like my husband and I had a situation where I said, we need to chat. And I started going off on all these these other things that I was worried about, but there was a base emotion going on that I hadn't taken the time to recognize till after the conversation didn't go well, that I pulled it back and went, really, I was feeling some fear.
Yep.
And if I would have gone to my man and said, hun, I'm really worried about this.
Yep.
It would have gone so much better. Like, he would have known what to do with it, because instead I was just kind of throwing up, I don't know how to explain it, but just like emotions that were being created from the fear, but I wasn't getting to the root of it. Does that make sense? I'm sure there are many of us that probably do that. So I like how you explain that we do step back from our own reactions, but yet we still need to be in tune with how we are feeling. Otherwise we are suppressing our own emotions, which can end up being bad.
Exactly. Yeah. It matters. Again, it's the we call it like the within us and the between us, right? Like the within and between, like you have to be tuned into both, because it's not enough just to sort of like focus on what they're doing to us or whatever. We have to understand what we're doing to them. And also each person is taking responsibility for how they feel and what's going on. And that's how we learn to send clear signals.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. This has been very enlightening for me, even with reading her book, the number of times I have, you connected pieces of the puzzle I had not connected yet. And I just really want couples out there to recognize and know that none of us were given all the tools to maneuver through this crazy thing called marriage.
Yes.
And that it's not a weakness to reach out to someone like you to seek a better way.
Right.
Right. It's actually, I mean, the people that come into you really, I feel, are stronger people, because they're like, okay, if you want to put it in words of Sue Johnson, this dance isn't working.
Exactly.
Can you teach us a better way to be in tune with each other and dance? And I think that takes more strength than sitting back and struggling or giving up. Or so I want to thank you for what you do.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That I don't know that there's a more important work out there than helping people save their marriages.
I love it. And I'm glad that you're also engaged in the work, and it's good work, isn't it? I love it.
It is. It's amazing. It really is. It's super rewarding. And of course, you know, my focus is just helping women work on their part. And it's been, because really, that's the only part we have control over, right? Our own. So I tried for years to help my husband be in control of his part. It didn't work very well. So the real magic happened when I started taking, you know, that path of working solely on what is my part, you know, and it's been an amazing journey. But if people want to get in contact with you, I'm assuming, Jeff, do you offer like FaceTime or Skyping appointments?
Yeah. So I have, there's kind of a weird licensing thing with marriage and family therapists. I can definitely do that with anybody who's in Utah.
Okay.
But outside of Utah, it would be more like a consult type of thing, where I could probably do a couple meetings and just answer some questions and stuff like that. But they definitely discourage you from doing like ongoing, you know, therapy. And plus it's really hard to kind of do deeper relationship work via Skype or FaceTime. You have to really be in the same room, but I can definitely touch base with anybody and help answer questions and do that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm assuming there's probably some sort of network out there that tells you what therapists are trained in EFT.
Yeah. EFT.ca has a directory.
Okay. Awesome. That's great. Well, if people in Utah want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
They can just go to my website. It's just lovingmarriage.com.
Oh, great. That's simple.
Yeah, it's easy, huh?
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, Jeff, once again, thank you again for your time and for giving me even more clarity on Love Sense. And I do love the EFT therapy process. I think it is amazing. And so I was thrilled to know, a good friend of ours that's actually in my group. I won't mention her name on here, but a good friend that's in my group, actually her and her husband see you. And that's how I first got, like, she told me, she's like, you have to read this book. and so anyway, I'm grateful for her to share with me because it made that great connection with us. So I look forward to more conversations in the future with you and just want to thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, we will talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you found that this episode was helpful to you in any way, please share it with your friends and family. And I would love it if you would leave a review. My goal is to try and reach as many individuals as possible to share with them that they do not have to settle, that there is a better way. Just the majority of us were never taught the tools to create the connection and the happiness that we desire in our life and in our relationships. So my goal is to help individuals learn some tools to be able to create their heart's desires. I hope you have a great week. Thank you again for joining me today. We will see you next week.